Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta tells congressional representatives no more perks until the TSA lines are gone. And United Airlines has a new option for those who want to sleep on the plane, but only if you are short. Details on those and other stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, some reminders about keeping your credit card safe on the road and the many reasons behind why the restaurants won't seat you until your entire party has arrived.
That is so aggravating. But now that I understand why they won't do it, it won't make me so impatient the next time it happens. At 11:35, our Odds and Ends segment touches on America's upcoming 250th birthday celebration and travel to Cuba.
We give out our personal information and our biometrics on an almost daily basis. Is that just a way of speeding us along, or is there more to the collection of information than that? Clayton Whitehead joins us at 11:50 to discuss if the government is keeping your personal information personal.
Give us an hour and we'll make you smarter the next time you hit the road. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I sit here in my home studio with my cup of coffee and my San Francisco Giants baseball mug. With my base Giants cap on and anxiously awaiting to see if the Giants can get a run before the end of the 162-day game run. And Mark, you're in the city. You've been there since yesterday. You took a group of Sports Leisure Vacationers there to the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about your experience. Where are you? Let's talk about it.
Well, being at the Giants game yesterday was kind of like visiting a convent during services. It was, the crowd was ready, but, only the Yankees showed up. The Giants, if you're a baseball fan, you know, by now the Giants had one hit yesterday, and three on Wednesday. So in two games, they haven't come close to scoring a run. They have four hits and, we're all just wondering, you know, the baseball season is 162 games long. Surely the Giants will score at some point in the season. The Yankees looked pretty. Aaron Judge hit a home run yesterday that is still up in the air somewhere, I'm sure, circling the planet. So the Yankees looked pretty impressive, Tom. But I got to tell you, yesterday was, other than the score, if you were a Giants fan, was a perfect day to be at the ballpark. The temperature was in the low 70s. This famous San Francisco wind was non-existent. It was just a perfect day. And the Giants are such an incredible organization. And as an example, on the screen yesterday before the game started, they were having some ceremonies. You know, they had their opening day was Wednesday against the Giants, but their claim was that that was pretty much for TV. And Friday was, yesterday was the real opening day. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of ceremonies, and they, before the game, they took a moment on the scoreboard to pay respects to people associated with the team who had passed in the previous 365 days. And one of the things they did that I thought was incredibly cool was they honored people, they memorialized people who had worked for the team. And one board had three ushers on it. And one of the people behind me said, irreverently, well, why would they put ushers up there? And I thought to myself, you idiot, because those people took people to their seats for 10 or 20 or 30 years, and now they're gone. And the people who miss them, what a wonderful way to remember even perhaps the most insignificant people, the smallest people, not insignificant, but the smallest people in your organization for the role that they played in making people happy at the ballpark. The Giants are really good at ballpark prices are ridiculous. Concession prices are ridiculous. Ticket prices are ridiculous. So the least that you can expect is that when you go there, that you will feel safe and secure and have a good time. And the Giants are really good at that. And I thought what they did with their scoreboard yesterday was just a way of acknowledging, it was a way of showing people that, you know, around here, everybody is important. So it was kind of cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. Let's see. You wanted to mention something else at the top of the program.
I do. This is the week. This weekend is the 40th anniversary of, if you were a kid and you were a guy, this movie would, it's the movie Stand By Me, and it's his 40th anniversary. You know, it's about the four kids who found a dead body and, you know, all of their adventures as 12 and 13 year olds. And if you, like I said, if you were a guy, you can identify with all of that. It's the 40th anniversary this weekend, and it's playing all over Sacramento in a variety of different theaters, this evening. So if you are in Citrus Heights, Folsom, Rockland, Sacramento, it's all over the place. So if you're a fan of the movie Stand By Me, there's an opportunity to go and see it live on the big screen this evening. So I just thought I would mention that because that movie was one of the top 10 of all time, in my opinion, and probably landed there for a lot of other people. Three of the cast members, of course, River Phoenix died of a drug overdose a number of years ago. But the other three main characters in the cast have been touring the country this weekend, and I saw one of their a press release about one of their appearances, not in Sacramento, but that the movie was all over, and indeed it is, all over Sacramento. So if you are a fan of the movie Stand By Me, it's playing tonight and maybe tomorrow in a bunch of places around town. You can Google it and find the times.
Outstanding. Great idea. Yeah, great movie. I agree. All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on, and there is a lot of it, what's been going on in the travel news. And with the travel news music brings us to Mark with the latest on the travel news, and I can guess where it's going to start. with three letters.
TSA, with the way that this is really one of the bigger travel stories in a long time. And the reason is because it's so unpredictable. I mean, unless you're flying out of Houston or one of the New York airports, you might not run into a long line. But if you don't allow for the long line and you run into it and you miss your plane, then you're screwed. So it's really, really a no-win situation on the, and this is just on our side of it, and on the security people's side of it, the TSA workers. So the latest on all of this is that the president, apparently, he has signed an order to pay TSA agents. Where the money came from and where the authority to do it came from is a little uncertain at this point, but let's face it, some things have happened in the last year and a couple months that fit into that category. So what's the important part of this is that the latest thing that I have here, which is about 40 minutes old, is that by Monday, there could be paychecks rolling to TSA people in some parts of the country, and certainly within a couple days of that to everybody. That would be a huge sigh of relief for a lot of people. And kudos to the president for doing that. And I just have one question. Why the hell didn't you do this like 6 weeks ago? I mean, I know it's all political and it's gamesmanship and everybody has to play their role and everything. But for God's sake, these are just regular people. Why couldn't we have taken them out of the equation a long time ago? And maybe we can do something to make sure that this is the third time in 6 months these people have gone through this. So maybe, Tom, we can do something, change the rules, get a writer in there, pass a bill. I'm not a politician, so I don't know, but there has to be a way to do this so that these people are not caught in the middle the next time it happens. There has to be.
Yeah, absolutely. There has to. And the number of TSA agents that have quit and they're probably not coming back is a large number. So as we get them paychecks and we move forward, they're still going to be shorthanded.
They are, and it takes 6 months to train new agents. That was pointed out in an article today. So it's possible that some of these issues could sporadically continue during peak periods for a while. And here's another really interesting a couple of sidebars to this morning. One is that Delta Airlines, many people don't know this, but if you thought about it, it probably wouldn't surprise you that members of Congress, when they go to the airport, they are not treated the same way we are. So they have special lines and they notify the airline ahead of time. I've seen this happen in Sacramento because we have a lot of, you know, legislators and the like come and go in Sacramento. And I've seen it happen there. And I've talked off the air with TSA. Maybe that's a thing we can talk to Dale and Sid about next time they can come on the air with us, which may be soon since this may be settled. But anyways, Delta Airlines announced on this was on One Mile at a Time, one of the blogs that I subscribe to. It was midweek. Basically, they said Delta cuts perks for members of Congress until shutdown ends. So whatever perks that they had in speeding through, if a member of the Senate or the House were flying, or probably their staffs and stuff included, were flying on Delta Airlines, anything special they did for them is over until the lines are gone. So I thought that was a little bit daring of Delta, since people who do things like who stand up to the system at this point have not all been met with great joy. So I thought that was a little gutsy, but I also thought it was appropriate. You know, I mean, come on. If you can't get your job done and make the system work properly, then you don't deserve to be treated special by the same system that you can't that you can't get going, you think?
Yeah, you think.
So
well, good.
I thought that was exactly. And you know, that was exactly my response when I read this, Tom. It was like, well, good. Good for Delta for standing up and saying, look, you know, the system is stretched to the max right now, and so you don't get these special privileges. You go sit in the corner until you can behave. I thought that was pretty much what they were communicating, and I thought it was pretty well done myself. The other story, the other sidebar here, is that, you know, there are 20 airports in the country that don't have TSA. We've talked about this before. It's not a law that you just have to have the system. You don't necessarily have to have the Transportation Security Administration handling it for you. And there are 20 airports in the country that do not have TSA workers. And indeed, two of them are right here in California. Two of them are the biggest airports in California, San Francisco and Los Angeles. So when you are seeing these lists of airports with the long lines, San Francisco and L.A. were not on them. And the reason for that is because they don't have TSA for their security. Sonoma County Airport in California, down in the Napa Valley, is another one that doesn't. And many of them are smaller airports, except I see Kansas City on the list, and I have relatives in that area, so I go through Kansas City fairly regularly, and have noticed that before, that they're not TSA operatives. So or one of the Orlando airports, but not the one that's had the lines, but the other smaller airport, Orlando Sanford Airport, is on this list. So some of the smaller airports in the country do not have TSA. So this problem, they could kind of go neener, 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 because
right. They
didn't have the problems because they didn't have TSA people. So it wasn't a universal problem. It was only a problem for people with TSA. So hopefully the paychecks get out to the TSA people and some of them can afford to come back to work. But, you know, maybe they don't come back to work right away because they made an agreement with whoever that they're working for part time to get some money coming in, that they'd work at least a couple of weeks or a month or something like that. The other thing I suspect may be happening, there may be a fairly decent number of TSA workers. If you had experienced this kind of thing 3 times in 6 months in your job, Tom, and it wasn't like your dream job, wouldn't you maybe be kind of looking for another opportunity to come up? Or maybe you've decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to do this or that, or I'm going to go to school to be a real estate person or, you know, a computer programmer or whatever it is that you've decided that in your life that this is ridiculous and I'm not going to let 50 bozos in Washington, D.C. determine my life pattern from now on. And so this is what I'm going to do. I just I can't help but believe that there has to be some of those folks who have already quit their job. They just haven't left the building yet.
Yeah, here again, by the numbers that have stepped away from their jobs at TSA and do not plan to come back, it's a clear indication that they're done with the with this kind of a situation, and there really isn't any signs that this could not happen again. So with that being said, they're moving on. They're finding something else to do. You know, I appreciate all that the TSA people do. There's certainly a wide variety of jobs with the TSA. Some of them require a lot more skill and a lot more training. And I'm assuming that there are higher paid ones, too. But the day-to-day stuff, you know, and as we were talking just the other day, there's a lot of positions with TSA that's going to become automated with all of the new face recognition technology. Pretty soon it'll just be, you'll walk up to a gate, there'll be a camera there. You may or may not scan your ID. You just may scan your face, and it'll let you through to go ahead and put your gear on the machine and so forth. So here again, there's a couple of things going on here.
Yeah, and there and you mentioned the machine that lets you in without any contact with a human. If you have TSA PreCheck, there is a way to go on to their app or go online, enter your TSA, your known traveler number, and it will give you the option of opting into touchless ID, which it's now appeared in about 36 airports. It's going to be in a lot more soon. What it does is it allows the camera to take a picture of your face, and if it matches everything it's supposed to match, you don't have to be seen or talked to by anybody. And those people in this particular situation, the people who have clear and the people who have touchless ID have been the ones who have been able to avoid the lines. And before we leave this in the dust here and move on, I just wanted one other story in Houston. People, that's where the longest lines have been, and security has been 3, 4, 5 hours many days in a row now. People are hiring themselves out as line sitters. There's a story in the Washington Post this morning about a gentleman, Stephen Dial was the guy's name. He went to stand in security lines Friday afternoon like it was his job, which for the day it was. He says, I've seen parts of the airport I didn't even know existed. He started his day standing in line for people at 6:30 in the morning. By 2 p.m., he was en route to line sit for his fifth client as TSA staff shortages led to another day of hours-long waits at the Houston airport. So at least one person, and I suspect there are more than one, who stood in line for people and were paid for it. So at least a few people are profiting from all of this. Finally, last story in the travel news today, United Airlines announced last week that they are going to do something interesting with some of their airplanes, the big planes, and even a few of the smaller planes. They are putting in a row, a bed, a couch, per se. You can buy all, you will be able to on these selective aircraft, buy all three seats, and then, and they will give you a pad for the seats. And so you know, like a mattress sort of pad. I mean, not as thick as a mattress pad, obviously, but, and you will be able to curl up, and if you want, and sleep on that triple seat that you bought. Except keep in mind that for you to sleep without being kind of curled up, it's only five feet, 1 inch from the wall to the aisle. So if you're taller than 5'1", which most of us are, you won't be able to stretch out completely. And God forbid what could happen if two people were together in those seats. I'm sure we'll have stories like that on the travel news before too long. But, you know, if you had a kid or a couple of kids or something like that, you're on an overnight flight, why, this might be something. Air New Zealand already has it. United hasn't told us what it's going to be priced at yet. Air New Zealand prices the three seats at the cost of about 2.2 seats. So there is a little bit of a saving there. Kind of an interesting story. Did you see this, Tom, the story about the bed last week?
I did. In fact, they had it on TV. They had some sort of a pictorial of what it's going to look like, and I was stunned. And then my next thought was three people on a plane, one lay down seat and a place to sleep, and three people standing in the aisle arguing about who's going to get to sleep there.
You know? Yeah. Well, we better get out of here because
the kids will say yes because it's only 5 feet and I can fit there.
Yeah, exactly. Great for a kid, not so great for a parent. But anyways, we better get out of here. We're not going to have time for the travel tip. That is your travel news for today.
Okay, it's Mark and Tom. We'll be back in just a second with our Smarter Traveler segment. Is your personal stuff, your secure stuff, as secure as you would like to think? And also, we're going to talk about restaurants and why you have to wait for your rest of your party when you got a large party and they won't seat you right away until the rest of the party gets there. You ever wonder why? We'll tell you when we come back here on The Travel Guys. We're The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Okay, Mark, into the Smarter Traveler segment we go.
Okay, and let me make just a request of you, Tom. When we get to about a minute, well, we've got about a minute left, would you give me a note since I'm live on the phone here? I can't speak to Anthony, so if you just give me a heads up when we get to about a minute, I'd appreciate it.
You got it.
Credit cards. Okay, credit cards. Let's talk. We talk a lot about keeping your credit cards safe. Couple three important reminders here and a new scam that's going around, particularly overseas, I wanted to mention to you. When you're out on the road and you're using your debit card for an ATM, be very careful. There are these little things called skimmers that can be attached to credit card to ATMs, and you think you're putting your card in the real ATM, and you're not. You're putting it in a skimmer, which is allowing makes it look like everything is fine, but what's happening is somebody is getting all the information off your card, so when you're done with your withdrawal or whatever business you're transactioning, they can get to your information. So use ATMs, especially when you're traveling, that you know are in established places, inside a chain grocery store, inside a bank or attached to a bank, and pay a little bit of attention when you're looking before you put your card in. If it looks like, wow, that looks kind of weird or kind of different there, it might be better to choose another ATM because this is something that is fairly widely spread. And so be careful, particularly when you're on the road and in unfamiliar places. Also, something that's been going on, this has been happening a lot overseas. You're presented a bill at a restaurant, and the bill is supposed to be $210, but it's $410. So you say to the to your server, no, this has come out wrong. And the server says, that's not a problem, we'll fix it. And he goes back and he or she fixes it and brings you back the corrected bill. You leave the restaurant, they put that $200 back on your credit card because now they know that your credit card will tolerate that amount of money. And you may not notice it if you don't pay attention. And the other thing is that if it's a big sum of money, your credit card could max out on you. So that could be a problem. So when you're traveling, always make sure you take at least one backup credit card and you keep it someplace other than where your rest of your cards are kept so that if you are pickpocketed or something like that, you've got an emergency card. But always carry an emergency credit card when you are on the road and be very careful at the ATMs that you use. Quickly, to move on here, I wanted to talk for a few minutes about I found this fascinating article about written by a guy who had been a server in a restaurant and had also been a host in a restaurant and wanted to explain to people why when you come in and there's six people in your party and there are four of you and you say, well, the other two people are 5 minutes away, why they won't seat you in the restaurant. And I found it kind of fascinating because there are several different reasons. First of all, the longer you sit at a table, the less money a busy restaurant makes. So it's important for them to turn the tables. I mean, that should be pretty obvious. Also, people lie when they say that the other folks are 5 minutes away, and then the other folks end up being 20 minutes away or 30 minutes away, and they've seated you at a table. Now that table is basically off the books until your people get there and they can be served and be done eating. And even if you order cocktails or something like that, it still doesn't help the restaurant because with the flow and with the number of reservations they have, you're tying up a table for much longer than they thought you would tie it up. And if it's only you, that would be one thing. But if it's all over the restaurant, then that's another thing. The restaurants find that not being able to turn the tables over costs them a tremendous amount of money. So the next time that you go to a restaurant and you are annoyed because, gee, you know, there's five of us and four of us are here. Why can't the four of us sit down and the fifth person will be here soon? Just know that those are some of the reasons, is because people are not always truthful with the host of a restaurant, and because not being able to turn that table may not seem like a big deal to you, but if a restaurant has 30 tables and four or five of them are in this state of flux, then it can really cause a problem. Tom, I know you have at least one relative in your family who serves as a restaurant hostess from time to time. Does any of this line up with what you hear?
Oh, absolutely. I have a daughter who has been a restaurant manager in many situations, and we've discussed this, and it is very disruptive. It's hard for the customer because it's always all about us. But yes, it can really it costs the restaurant money by not being able to turn the tables properly. And what you say about people not being so straightforward and honest with you is a reality, you know. And the other tip real quickly here is if don't show up 30 minutes before a restaurant is going to close and decide that you're going to come in with a party of five and have a big meal. Show some respect to the people that work there, those in the kitchen and so forth, and just don't go at the last minute.
Awesome.
Okay, Mark, we have about 30 seconds or so.
Okay. Also keep in mind that once you're seated in the restaurant, you can't be moved. So they seat you at a table for eight and two of your folks decide not to come. And now you're seated now the party of eight that's behind you, that's waiting for a table, they can't be seated because you've already taken up that table. Anyways, just something to think about if you can't be seated when your party isn't all present the next time you're in a restaurant.
Coming up, our odds and ends segment here with the Travel Guys. Stick around, more to come. Thanks for joining us today.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Great place to escape for the summer is in Canada and the Canadian Rockies, not too terribly far from Sacramento. And one of the greatest things to see, in fact, the greatest outdoor show on earth, is the Calgary Stampede. If you've never seen chuck wagon races in an arena before, then you've not seen the Calgary Stampede. We'll take you up into Banff, to Lake Louise. It's a great trip into the Canadian Rockies, departing in July. For more information, you can look it up at sportsleisure.com or give us a call Monday at 916-361-2051. The Canadian Rockies with Sports Leisure Vacations, a great way to accent your summer travel.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, a chuck wagon race.
Yeah.
Reminds me of, you know, watching old Westerns growing up in the day, you know, and Bonanza.
It's craziness. You know, Tom, when I first started in business 46 years ago, the Calgary Stampede was one of the most requested things that people wanted to go to. And, of course, people weren't quite as worldly in their travels at that time. And the other thing was, 45 years ago, Sacramento was much more of a cow town than it is now. I mean, that was the label we had. And indeed, a lot of people from the Midwest came to California and didn't settle in Los Angeles or Sacramento because they were Midwesterners and perhaps they were farmers or had that sort of background. So Sacramento took on a little different personality than the other cities. And indeed, the Calgary Stampede and the chuck wagon races, where at the sound of the bell, the guys have to throw a whole bunch of stuff in the back of a wagon, and then the wagon has to race around in a circle around the arena and then go out on the racetrack and make it around the racetrack and finish first. And there's a lot of money involved. So anyway, the Calgary Stampede, if you haven't been there, I highly recommend it.
Outstanding. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's time for our odds and ends segment for today's program. Mark, what's on your odds and ends list for today?
Well, there's been some saber-rattling about Cuba. The president says Cuba is next up on his list. And it's kind of interesting. People, I guess, assume that if you're in the United States, you cannot travel to Cuba. But that is not the case. You cannot travel to Cuba as a tourist currently, although you could have in previous years. But you cannot travel to Cuba as a tourist now. You can travel there as a business person. There are flights, Delta flies and American Airlines flies, and American actually flies to three different destinations in Cuba. But for right now, Cuba is not the place that you want to go. They're having a fuel problem there. So, and they're having the fuel means not only fuel for airplanes, but also fuel for power stations and the like. So they're having some issues on the island. So if Cuba is on your list,
yeah,
you may have to wait just a little while.
Well, you can still travel now as a not as a tourist, though, right?
Right. But you'd have to prove to them that you actually had business there, Tom.
Yeah, that's true. I recall it wasn't that many years ago. Well, maybe now come to think of it, maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago. The Sports Leisure had some folks actually go to Cuba. Did you not?
We did. Chris Galloway took a group of people to Cuba, and it was a very, very controlled. The government kind of said, you know, OK, you can go here and you can go here and you can go here and here's your guide and this is what you have to do. But by all accounts, it was a fascinating place to visit. And so I would love to go there. It's only 75 miles from Key West.
Yeah.
So you can't quite see it from there, but it's just a stone's throw away.
Right, right. Which you know, really concerned the United States back in the 60s, or for that matter, has concerned us for a long time. I understand that in Cuba, the taxis are oftentimes classic American-made automobiles.
Yes, yes, they absolutely are. In fact, because of the import bans and stuff on cars in Cuba, people have to fix up the old ones. And yes, there are a lot of old U.S. vehicles on the road in Cuba. Tom, our 250th anniversary for the country, the 250th birthday of the United States, is coming up on the 4th of July, and there are celebrations going on all over the country, and it appears as though some people are going to attend them. Hotel Planner says that hotel bookings in Philadelphia are 81% up over year over year. Williamsburg is up 62%. Washington, D.C. up 8%, not quite as much. But folks are going back to Gettysburg, up 35%. So folks are indeed going back to see some of and be a part of some of the anniversary. There is a Grand Prix in Washington, D.C. To celebrate the country's birthday. Of course, Philadelphia is having a big, big, big celebration, as is Boston, as is Washington, D.C. New York and New Jersey are going to host a thing called Sail the Fourth, which will bring together the largest international fleet of tall ships ever assembled in New York Harbor. So for people who like to see tall ships, that will be an opportunity. The event will feature fireworks, international aerial review, headlined by the Blue Angels, culinary festivals, and an amplified Fleet Week. So most of the big celebrations for our 250th birthday are being held on the East Coast, because that's where most of those places are. If you know your California history, there's not too much. You go back about 20 or 30 years before the Gold Rush, and California is still pretty empty. So it's certainly not California's 250th anniversary, but our country will have a landmark a birthday coming up in just a few months.
Boy, that's going to be exciting. Tall ships, that would be extremely cool to see. I hope that, and I encourage everybody to, you know, act sanely. We have a tendency to just get a little bit wild on the 4th of July already. Setting things on fire and so forth. And the bigger the 4th of July, sometimes the bigger the celebration. So be cool, folks. Our audience, I don't think I necessarily need to tell you to be cool.
I'm not too worried about that. You're listening to the Odds and Ends segment here on the Travel Guys. We're going to sit down with Clayton Whitehead and talk to him in just a few minutes. You'll want to stay tuned for that. We're going to talk a little bit about Americans traveling overseas and how that's all being perceived right now, because Clayton is a big international traveler. Here is a note from Travelers United. They did a little survey. What one airline improvement do you think would make flying more civil? What one airline improvement do you think would make flying more civil? First up on the list, more comfortable slash wider seats, 43%.
Amen.
And I think this is kind of the same category, more leg room. The first one was talking about width-wise. Now we're talking about length-wise, 33% there. So that's 76. Three out of four people would like a little more room. This is why the airlines are making a lot of money selling you literally inches more room for hundreds of dollars. And you don't even have to go to first class for that. We're still talking about coach here. No charges for the first checked bag, 14%. How quickly Southwest has been forgotten. Better compensation for flight delays or lost luggage, 6%. Better snacks or food, 4%. So three out of four people would like to see an airline that had more room on it. But that isn't going to happen, because more room means fewer seats. Fewer seats means less revenue, not only for the seat, but if there's only 150 people on the plane instead of 175, then they're not going to take in as much money for bag collection and seat upgrades and credit card usage, which, of course, we've talked about is the real reason that airlines are in business these days. Let's see here. What else have we got in the odds and ends bin here? Airport times have been, lines have been awful in places around the country. Avoid Houston. Avoid Houston International, Bush Airport in Houston. For some reason, the lines at Hobby Airport, which is the airport that Southwest uses in Houston, have been like 5-10 minutes, while the lines at Bush Airport in Houston have been 3-4, sometimes even 5 hours long. And it's been consistently like that every single day. It seems to me like if somebody, you know, who was really smart was in charge, I would take maybe some of the TSA people who are working at one airport and move them over to the other airport. Maybe that's just me.
I guess it seems too obvious. Maybe there's got to be a reason why. That is it a situation where they just cannot get caught up?
What it is, Tom, is it's time of the day. The biggest rushes at airports in the East are early in the morning, and then between about 2 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 2 and 7 o'clock if you're a hub airport. So what happens is by the time they get caught up from the morning, the afternoon starts to build again. And I was reading an article today about how they sent extra workers to Hobby Airport, but not to Bush Airport, which again, some of the things that are happening today, I just scratch my head and wonder is who's in charge around here. But anyway, nonetheless, quickly here, one more item. People are Starlink. United has Starlink on board now. American is talking about getting it. It is the greatest Wi-Fi ever. You can stream things. Forget about all the old Wi-Fi interruptions on planes and stuff like that. So Starlink, United, very, very good. When people are talking about the quality of the internet on the plane, that's a good thing. And that's the odds and ends segment for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. We'll be joined by Clayton Whitehead here with the program right after this. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget, links to our special guest and more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Welcome back. The Travel Guys road reporter Clayton Whitehead's here with us. Mark, what are we going to talk with Clayton World Traveler about today to make people smarter travelers?
Well, one of our favorite travel columnists has written an article that I see these from time to time. You know, are American travelers becoming their own worst enemy? Are they going out on the road and expecting everything to be just exactly like it is at home? And when it's not, and people don't speak English, and it is life isn't perfect, why they throw a temper tantrum or otherwise foul the air for other American tourists that might follow behind them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that Clayton does a lot of international travel, and I thought he would be the perfect person to weigh in on this because he sees this firsthand, and he can tell us whether or not this tis really true. So, Clayton, to start our conversation, let me ask you, on when you're traveling internationally, is this true? Do people are Americans disrespectful to other cultures and people, or is this just one-offs or two-offs along the way?
Sadly, I think generally speaking, Americans have a well-earned poor reputation as world citizens.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I really, really do. I've been traveling internationally since the 80s, so way more than half my life. And I've seen, and it should be said, it's not just Americans. I've seen a general decline regarding, let's say, the manners of international travelers. But Americans are conspicuous by their presence. We are a huge population, and we have a lot of discretionary income. So no matter where you are in the world, no matter how many other world travelers are there, you can pretty much guarantee that a lot of them are going to be Americans. And especially in this particular political climate, I think that we are being scrutinized even more heavily. People are really noticing us and trying to decide what we stand for and what we're representing.
I have to ask, Clayton, you know, I mean, you've been traveling for decades. People have changed, in this world. And I have to say, it may have something to do with, or you can chime in on this, that it, the younger generation, I hate to throw that out there, do you find that the people that are more rude and more problematic are at a younger age?
I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and there was a lot of wild and crazy young people then as well. I think the difference, there's definitely a difference between younger travelers, middle-aged travelers, and mature adult travelers. There's definitely differences. But I do think a lot of this, again, what I have termed as lack of manners, it cuts across the population groups. It's just they express it in different ways. Like, I witnessed one of my own travelers when I was in Italy a couple months ago, and God bless her, she's a nice lady. The person at the front desk didn't have English very well, and they weren't communicating very well. So she started speaking really loud and slow, somehow thinking that that was going to make them understand the English language a little bit better. Well, that was really rude. I mean, it struck me as being very insensitive. I don't think my client meant it in a rude way. She was also frustrated. She had a message she was trying to convey. You know, I get all that, but speaking loud and slow and staccato doesn't make anybody understand any better. So it's just I think we all just need to take a step back and a deep breath and remember, first of all, guess what? You're not home. So it's not supposed to be the way it is back home. And it's okay to have reasonable expectations. But I think that when people travel, they just need to give the system a little bit more of a break. And that's especially true in an international situation where the language may be different. The culture is definitely different. Maybe they don't eat eggs and bacon at breakfast. That's their right, you know. So we're guests in their home, in their country, and maybe I don't like, blood pudding? But you know what? It's not going to kill me to try it, and it also won't kill me if I skip a meal that day, or at least skip the blood pudding.
It strikes me that at this point, what we should, in order to the counterbalance to this, is to go to... And I'm going to be staying in a hotel in San Francisco this weekend. I might do this on my own little survey. Do international visitors to our country do the same? I mean, like the situation Clayton was describing. Mm-hmm. So somebody is speaking French at a hotel desk, and the person isn't understanding them. So do they slow down and speak French slower and louder? In other words, is that something that's just a normal human reaction? Clayton, also, when people go to other places, it seems like maybe it's a little different in that the expectation you're going someplace else and it's supposed to be like home. You just referred to this as opposed to Wow, I'm going someplace that's entirely different, and the people here speak a different language, and they have their lives are different, and I'm here to discover that and explore that and take that into consideration with my own life, as opposed to going there and saying, well, you know, this is just not like I like it is at home, so I'm out. Does that make any sense?
It does. And, of course, there's another factor that I think is kind of the elephant in the room, and that is the extraordinary expense. Travel has always been rather expensive. International travel has always been more expensive. And in this current economy, all travel is extremely expensive. So I get it. I get it as the one who manages the bills on these group tours I lead. You know, I get it that when you're paying $500 a night for a hotel room, you know, you want things a certain way. You know, you want the pillow, you want enough towels, you want a bar of soap. That's one of my big things. I wash with a bar of soap, and I don't like squirty stuff out of a bottle. But the answer to that is not me screaming at somebody in my best Spanglish and demanding a bar of soap. The answer to that is I bring my own bar of soap in a baggie. And I think that's all right. I think that's fair. You know, if you've got to have things a certain way, pack it in your luggage.
There you go. By the way, Clayton, that bar of soap just going to dry your skin out. If you notice that, Mark, that squirty stuff is body soap, and it's supposed to keep your skin soft and supple. So I just thought I'd point that out there.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. The next time I need some dermatology advice, I'll give you a ring.
You're listening to The Travel Guys. Our guest is Clayton Whitehead. I'm Mark Kaufman, along with Tom Romano. We're talking a little bit here about American tourists and their behavior when they go other places, and why, at this point in time, a lot of people in a lot of countries are looking at Americans differently than they looked at us before. I can tell you this because I talked to some of them, and they are. They're trying to decide if we are all as brash and outspoken as the current leader of our country, or if some of us still know and value other methods of interacting with people. God, I tried to make that as non-political as I could.
You did well. You did well.
Chris Elliott has a thing, Clayton, called, he calls it the coconut smoothie test. And his point is that you're in a foreign country, you're walking down the street, you see somebody selling coconut smoothies and you say, oh, that sounds like a good idea. You have no idea what the sanitation or anything might be. You might be setting yourself up for catastrophe just because of a bad choice that you made. Do you see people do your travelers make these kinds of bad choices? Is there anything that we should be telling people about the choices they make on the road? And then I also give you an opportunity to tell us, what do we do about all that?
I think we said earlier that there's been a general decline in manners across the board. To me, that's one of the key issues here. It's how you hold yourself and how you react to others. I did a little deep dive on that. I was thinking, where did I learn my manners? Now, I was born and raised in the rural South. I grew up saying yes, ma'am, and no, sir. And I still say it today, much to the chagrin of many of my my friends who say, oh, you make me feel 1,000 years old. And my answer is always, this is the way I was raised.
Right.
My mother taught me impeccable manners. But you know, there was another person who taught me manners. And I'm going to cry if I talk about him very much. But his name is Fred Rogers. And so many of us grew up with him. And he's been on the social media a lot lately because it was the anniversary of his birthday and the airing of his final show just a few days ago. And I pulled up a quote from Mr. Rogers that I think really says a lot. Imagine what our neighborhood would be like if each of us offered, as a matter of course, just one kind word to another person. And isn't that really the essence of manners? It's just kindness. It's just saying something nice to another person. I also found another quote by him that I had not heard before, but I love. I think I'm going to tattoo this one on my arm. It says, kindness is rebellion. Imagine Fred Rogers saying that. But kindness is rebellion, and especially now, because kindness is the opposite of what's happening in so much of the world, at least if our lens into the world is the public media or social media. Because those, good, bad, right, wrong, or otherwise, those sources are wired, they're created to excite us, right? So the opposite is kindness. The opposite is love. The opposite is just to take a breath, let things settle a minute. And yeah, that is rebellion. Kindness is rebellion. I love that. And I think that's what we as Americans ought to be known for. Just the power of kindness.
I'm not sure that anybody could say that any better. Very well spoken, Clayton.
Well done.
Thank you for your perspective on the behavior of travelers, American travelers internationally. And I'm going to do my own little survey in the city this weekend and see if I can get some comments from people who are in our country who are on the receiving end, especially San Francisco. Lots of international visitors to downtown San Francisco there. Gosh, anybody who can afford San Francisco, it's as expensive as New York. Thank you, Clayton Whitehead, for that.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. Thanks for coming along. Remember, links to our special guests and so much more always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, final word.
Remember, folks, dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
The traveler is always leaving town. He never